You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
With me, Your Honor. Dr. Wolf, I realize that the court has a copy of this, but I'd like you to please read the first sentence in the indentation at the top after following.
Okay. All records within ARCA's or its owners, partners, employees, or representatives' possession, custody, or control in whatever format kept that reflect or in any way relate to work performed or contemplated and related in any way to billing, payment, compensation, and or reimbursement of any kind in connection with Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
Did you, and to the best of your knowledge, everyone associated with ARCA comply completely with this order with regard to the records that are requested in it?
Yes, everything I had in my possession and that ARCA had in our possession, we produced.
What I'd like to do is to go back in time with regard to your interactions with the United States Department of Justice in February of 2024. Was ARCA under a contract with the United States Department of Justice?
Yes, sir.
Was there a contract number assigned to that contract?
Yes.
Was there an internal number at ARCA for which all time was billed for your work on that matter in February of 2024?
Yes.
Did that contract number that began in February of 2024 ever change in ARCA?
Well, let me just clarify something real quick. So the original case when it came in from the Department of Justice was in the year of 2023. So when that project was opened with the Department of Justice, we assigned a project number to it. That project number from the original case with the Department of Justice remained the same all the way through the trial.
And now let's go from in the trial in June of 2024, correct?
Correct, yes.
From June of 2024 to the end of December of 2024, did that contract number ever change?
No.
To your knowledge, when you were entering time under that contract number for your work, did you understand that that time was going to be billed to that contract number with the U.S. government?
That was my assumption, yes.
Did you have, from any time in 2024, any understanding that any of your time that you were entering was to be billed to the defense team in this case?
No, sir.
Let's now go to your first interactions with the defense. As I understand it, why don't you tell me what was the first date of your understanding of interactions with the defense?
I believe it was sometime in mid to end of March of 2024. Again, that would have been over a month from when we issued our report to the Department of Justice.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, may what I have is the entire production that ARCA made. I think it would ease in terms of the...
Sure, he can have it.
Thank you. Is that pursuant to the subject of the Honor's permission to answer any of my questions if you need to?
Okay.
Now, in March of 2024... Had your final report been issued, the final report that you prepared for the U.S. government?
Yes, that was issued on February 12th of 2024.
From February 12th of 2024 until you sit here today, has there been any change whatsoever to that report?
No.
Have the conclusions in that report stayed the same since it was finalized for the U.S. Department of Justice in February of 2024?
Yes, and that was testified to at the voir dire and certainly at the time of trial.
Did the defense at any time have any discussions with you about the substance of that report to the United States Department of Justice?
No, we had no idea who the defense was or the Commonwealth for that matter.
And when you took the stand in the voir dire testimony in the first trial, before you took the stand, did you have any discussions with any member of the defense about the substance of that report?
No, sir.
Did you have any discussions with any member of the defense before the voir dire testimony other than discussions about background and qualifications?
Other than, again, some logistics about how to get up here, where to go, things of that nature, but beyond that, no.
Other than logistics, how to get up here, when you were coming, background qualifications, did you have any discussions with any member of the defense of any kind with regard to the report to the U.S. Department of Justice?
No, sir.
Did the defense ever try to get you to improve or change any aspect of the report you had issued to the Department of Justice?
No.
At the time you were that ARCA was working for the United States Department of Justice, do you know whether ARCA could have been retained by any other party for any aspect related to the February 2024 report?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
In 2024, did the federal government prevent ARCA from entering into any contract with any other party with regard to your report of February of 2024?
So we were, again, because we were still under contract with the Department of Justice, we could not have any other formal agreements, contracts, retainers, anything of that nature, because we were still under contract with the Department of Justice.
Now let's go to the emails that were discussed with you starting with March 20, 2024, and then the subsequent email of March 22nd, 2024.
Okay.
Are you there, sir?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, let's test to make sure. March 20, 2024, 10:49 a.m. from Alan Jackson to Daniel Wolf. Do you have that?
Yes.
And that email states in substance, Thank you so much for taking the time to get on with the phone this morning. Pursuant to our conversation, please feel free to forward an engagement letter to this email address. I will get that countersigned and return to you forthwith along with your retainer as required. As of March 20th, 2024, was there any understanding that ARCA would be compensated by the defense for any aspect of current or future work?
No.
Was there any understanding or discussion that ARCA would receive any reward or payment or compensation for any contemplated work with the defense?
No.
The discussions that you had with Mr. Jackson that are the subject of this March 2024 email, were there any inducements to ARCA from the defense?
No, sir.
After that email was received by you, did you have any understanding or expectation of any kind that ARCA would be compensated for any work associated with this case?
No, sir.
What was, briefly, the essence of that conversation that's discussed in the March 20, 2024 email?
Well, if it correlates to when I'm looking back at this phone record log, there was an incoming call to the ARCA mainline on March 20th, 2024 at 7 a.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time, so that would have been at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So that call lasted for 39 minutes. And as I mentioned earlier with Mr. Brennan, I think that was a conversation about Alan trying to get in touch with me, letting us know that, hey, we've received your all's report as part of this federal investigation. You know, how can we go about utilizing you guys to come testify at trial? Can you guys come testify at trial? So, and then as I mentioned, I went over him with our typical, you know, protocol for when a case comes in and a client wants to utilize us to testify, which is certainly outlined in that email. But obviously, given the very unique nature of this case, I had no idea if that was something that was okay, if it was allowed, what to do. So subsequent to that email, I then reached out to the Department of Justice to get clarification on what the guidelines would be to move forward.
I'm going to come back to these emails, but I want to go right to the July invoice from ARCA to Worksman Jackson Firm. So can you locate that? Is that in your production? It's the July invoice.
Yes. I have it located, yes.
Did you ever have any discussion of any kind with any member of the defense team about that invoice before July 12th of 2024?
No, sir. And I will note, I am not a part of the invoicing or accounting at ARCA. When a bill goes out, how much it goes out for, who it goes to, I'm not a part of that at all.
For each and every entry on that invoice, did you have any understanding that the defense team, as you're making each of those entries, any understanding that the defense team was going to be paying for any of that work?
No. Again, I think my boss wants to know what I'm doing with my time, right? What am I working on? Am I sitting there twiddling my thumbs, or am I working on a case? So that's the purpose of tracking time, sir.
So can you please describe how it is you enter time and what your thought process is as you're entering each of those time entries? Not each one, but just collectively. How do you do it? Why do you do it? And how does that work in your firm?
So again, there's usually just a spreadsheet. Sometimes I'll write it down. Maybe my project manager will enter it. But ultimately, I keep track. If I've got, you know, an 8-9 hour day, right, I'm working on multiple cases that day, right? So I figure out, all right, did I have a telephone call? Did I work on a report for this long, right? So I keep track of my time in a spreadsheet so that ultimately, again, my boss and the accounting department knows what was Dr. Wolf doing on this day, this month.
Let's take the first entry on May 1st, 2024. You see that?
Yes.
Did you have any understanding when you made that entry that the defense was going to be paying for that time?
No.
6/9/2024. Did you have any understanding when you made that entry that the defense was going to be paying for that time?
No.
For any entry on this invoice, did you have any understanding that the defense was going to be paying for this time?
No, sir.
When you're entering this time, if you had any understanding, was your understanding that this time was under the contract with the U.S. government?
Yes, because that's the project number that I put that time towards.
So at the time you're making each one of these entries on this entire invoice, what project number are you billing to, and which one do you have in mind at that time?
I don't recall it off the top of my head. I know it was the project number for the Department of Justice case, though.
Right. I'm sorry. I wasn't asking about the specific number.
Right.
But the ultimate client, when you're making each of these entry, who is it?
It's the Department of Justice.
Is it the defense in this case?
No, sir.
Did you ever have any discussion at all with any member of the defense team that this invoice was going to be sent to the defense?
No.
For any entry on this invoice, did you ever have any belief that you were retained or engaged by the defense?
No, and as I mentioned earlier, again, the Department of Justice forbid that. So we could not be retained or in a contract with the defense.
I would like to now go back to the emails we were talking about. Specifically, we left off with the March 20, 2024. I want to now go to the March 22nd, 2024 email. I'm just going to shorthand that, refer to it as the pause email. What had happened between March 20th, 2024 and March 22nd, 2024?
Do you have the tab for that, the email that you're looking at? Sorry.
Tab one, please.
Tab, okay. Right, so the first email that we were talking about on March 20th, 2024 from Mr. Jackson to myself, it looks like the next email was from me to Mr. Jackson 2 days later, March 22nd, 2024 at 6 a.m. I sent an email saying, "Hi, Alan. Subsequent to our conversation on Wednesday, the U.S. District Attorney's Office has asked that we pause on any further conversation until we receive additional information from their office regarding our involvement moving forward. I will provide you an update when I have it." So what it sounds like, and from what I recall, is that between March 20th, 2024 and March 22nd, 2024, I had reached out to the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's Office to get clarification on, again, moving forward with potentially testifying in the case.
And what did the United States Department of Justice tell you?
They said to wait, basically, until they internally figured it out.
So what was your conclusion from that conversation as to whether you could do any work on this case at that point?
At that point, I didn't even know if we were going to be allowed to testify. I know that from my conversation with the Department of Justice, I knew that there was a great deal of confusion on their end on whether or not, you know, as expert witnesses involved in a federal investigation, if we would be even allowed to testify in the state matter. So their legal teams were trying to, I think, figure out what the road forward looked like.
And were you entering time under that U.S. contract matter in March of 2024?
Yes.
And do you know where that time was being billed to?
It would have been the same project number as the Department of Justice one.
That time was not, to your knowledge, being billed to the defense, was it?
No, again, there was through the entirety from, again, when the case from the Department of Justice came in 2023 till the trial concluded, all of the time was put to that one project number.
In March of 22nd of 2024, was any engagement letter sent to the defense?
No.
As of March 22nd, was there any retainer sent to the defense?
No, there was never a contract or retainer sent to the defense in 2024 at all.
So in terms of the discussion in the March 2024 email about engagement letter and retainers, were any of those ever sent?
No, we were not allowed.
And let's go back to that discussion of March 20th about engagement letter, retainer letter. Was that discussion where you were talking specifically about what you were going to do with the defense in terms of that relationship, or was it a general specific type discussion of the policies and billing procedures of ARCA?
Certainly, as is alluded to in the email, was I prescribed to him our typical operating procedure for when a case comes in. But again, there was I remember part of that call, there was a great deal of confusion about what do we even do from here.
So as of March 22nd, 2024, can you just briefly describe whether there was any further activity at all by ARCA with regard to the defense?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think that anything, there was no communication, I don't think, until about a month later in April, after I had received that clarification.
Now let's go to April. Let's go to the voir dire hearing of April. When you sat on the stand under oath for the voir dire hearing, had there been any substantive conversations about the topics in the February report to the Department of Justice?
No, sir.
None at all?
None.
What briefly were the substance of the conversations you had with the defense team as of the moment you sat for the voir dire hearing in April of 2024?
Again, they were all scheduling logistics. And when I look at these records here, you know, I see a phone call for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 6 minutes. There's a few that are for 1 minute, which I think, again, we were just maybe just playing phone tag. But again, these calls are very short in nature. So again, it was just trying to figure out. I mean, obviously, I know that this was a large trial, a lengthy trial, a lot of witnesses, things are fluid. So I know that Alan ultimately, I think, would reach out to me. And then, like I said, he would give me an idea. Hey, can you come this day, right? And then I would relay that to Dr. Rentschler. He'd say, yeah, that works for me. So that I would get back to Alan. So that's what those conversations were. Again, coordinating our testimony to appear for the voir dire.
It might appear to some that there were a number of conversations before in communications with the defense before you sat for the voir dire hearing. Were those conversations about logistics, background and qualifications, or did those conversations entail other topics?
No, it's what we've covered. Again, that March 20th, 2024 phone call, the very first one of 39 minutes, again, was us trying to figure out what the heck to do. The May 1st phone call, which was 40 minutes, again, was me going over my background, the work that I do, my qualifications, education. Other than that, there are very short phone calls, like I said, of 6 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, 9 minutes, right? And again, that was in preparation to appear in terms of scheduling, logistics, timing for the voir dire.
At the voir dire hearing, do you recall the Commonwealth asking you any questions at all about whether you were being compensated by the defense?
I don't recall a single question by the Commonwealth on that, no.
Did the Commonwealth ask you any questions at that voir dire hearing about whether you had any substantive discussions with the defense about your February report to the United States Department of Justice?
I don't believe they asked, no.
Did the Commonwealth at that voir dire hearing ask you any questions about whether you had any promises or inducements from the defense before you sat down for that voir dire hearing?
No.
Now let's go to the next tab with regard to the outlines that you were asked on direct examination by Attorney Brennan. You've described this situation, you describe how it is you viewed the situation. You ever been in this situation before where you're under contract with the federal government, there's rules of the road, so to speak, as what you can do, what you can't do, and then you've got a private defense team. Have you ever been in that situation before?
No, I think it's truly one of a kind, and I don't know that that'll ever happen again.
And have you ever been in a situation like that since?
No, sir.
Did that cause you to have more or less communications with Mr. Jackson to figure out what it is you were going to do or not do?
Sure, yes.
In terms of your outlines that you sent to Mr. Jackson, did he ever broach in any way at all any idea of you sending him an outline?
He never asked, no.
Was there even any discussions that you might send an outline?
No. As I mentioned, it's something that for me is customary as I'm preparing internally for trial, right? I'm not going to come to trial, not review anything, not look over my notes, right? It's something that I do internally so that I can have an understanding how do I want to try to answer questions that might be posed to me such that I can have the jury understand how did I arrive at my opinions.
Was it important to you before you sent that email with those outlines, was it important to you that the jury got a fair and accurate presentation of the work you had performed in association with your February report?
Yes, I think that this is my job.
Was there any other motivation that you had in sending that outline and that email to Mr. Jackson other than making sure testimony was elicited that would make your perspective clear to the jury?
No, that was the only reason.
Were you trying to in any way favor the defense, give the defense any favor with regard to that trial?
Absolutely not.
What was your goal both with sending the outline and the testimony at trial? What was your goal?
Again, as I mentioned, I think it's to help the jury understand the report, the analysis, what I did, what I reviewed.
Did the defense ever ask you to communicate to the jury about any aspect of your report in any way?
No, sir.
And did you, in fact, communicate to the jury what it is you intended to effectuate the goal that you just explicated?
I think so, yes.
And with regard to the comments that were in those outlines, what was your intention in putting in those comments?
Again, it is to provide the jury, again, like for example, with the nighttime pedestrian statistic, right? It was to have them have an understanding that I wanted them to have an understanding that I do a lot of nighttime invisibility work, right? So therefore, I see a lot of pedestrian impacts. But again, I don't want them to take that statistic and say, well, we have this alleged incident, there was bad weather conditions, it was nighttime, oh, therefore, we should give that more weight.
And is that desire of yours, in your mind, to help the defense more than to help the Commonwealth?
No, it's impartial, and I will note, I give numerous presentations, and I think slide 2 or 3 on presentations I give, it's going over that very same statistic. I would never shy or hide away from that statistic. And I believe I testified to that very statistic or that comment at the voir dire and in my trial testimony.
In terms of after you sent the emails with Qualls and issues pertaining to direct testimony, did you ever have any communication of any kind whatsoever with the defense team?
No, he didn't. Mr. Jackson didn't even respond. And I think when I sent the direct outline, it was Sunday evening before I hopped on a plane. And I think by the time I got into Boston, it was like 1 a.m. So I didn't even have a chance.
When you took the stand to testify the next day in that trial, had you had one word of a conversation with Mr. Jackson or any other member of the defense team about the substance of your upcoming testimony?
No, sir.
So you went and sat during that trial and gave testimony to the jury without ever having talked to a member of the defense team about the substance of your February 2024 report?
Correct.
Do you recall any member of the Commonwealth asking any questions at all during your trial testimony about whether you had been compensated by the defense?
No.
Do you recall the Commonwealth ever asking any questions at all whether you had communicated with any member of the defense with regard to your testimony while during your trial testimony?
I don't think that was asked. No.
Do you recall any questions from the Commonwealth about whether back in March or any other time you had been promised or induced by the defense? Do you remember any of those questions?
No.
Do you remember any questions by the Commonwealth at either the voir dire or the direct testimony about whether you had had conversations with the defense?
No.
Do you remember any questions of the Commonwealth at all before you sat down and after you sat down for trial about whether you had any text communications with any members of the defense?
No.
At the end of the trial, did you have any understanding whatsoever that ARCA was going to be compensated by the defense?
No.
At the end of the trial, did any member of the defense ever say to you, we're now going to compensate you for any of your work up to the time of your trial testimony?
No, and the record certainly reflected I never spoke to Mr. Jackson after the trial in 2024. There was no conversations between us.
Well, let's go beyond Mr. Jackson. Let's go to any human being. Did you have any discussions with any human being as to whether the defense was going to compensate you for any work, travel, expenses, disbursements that you had or incurred up to and through your trial testimony?
No.
And at that time, were you still under contract with the United States Department of Justice?
Yes.
Now let's proceed to December of 2024. Were there any conversations from the end of the trial until December of 2024, other than logistics? Well, was there any conversations of any kind? And please summarize briefly what they were, or texts.
The only communication that I had with the defense was Mr. Jackson. After I took the stand, I think that he sent me a text just thanking again for my time traveling up here. I said it was great, and then we left, and that was it. I did not communicate with Mr. Jackson for the remainder of 2024.
Now let's go to recent communications. In 2025, did you have any communications with any member of the defense with regard to the potential? Well, let me go backwards. Let me go to the invoice. Let me go to the July invoice.
Okay.
How did you learn that that invoice was paid? If you learned at all, how did you learn that that invoice was paid?
I didn't learn. I didn't know that it was paid. I didn't even know it was sent.
Now let's go to this year. Did the defense approach ARCA to see if they might be able to testify in this trial that's currently pending?
Well, I think that the first communication of 2025 that happened between myself and Mr. Jackson was in February 13th of 2025. There was two calls, 25 minutes and 5 minutes, but it looks like just because there was a disconnect. So it was about a 30-minute call with him in February of this year.
And what was the substance of that call?
Well, I think back to that time frame, I became aware that I think that there was a motion or two regarding ARCA and potentially excluding our testimony for the upcoming trial. I also know that around that time, unfortunately, I ended up getting a significant amount of harassment through emails, and unfortunately even spread into my personal life where my wife was affected. They were posting pictures of my four kids all over the internet. So it was somewhat of a difficult time on my end. And I think what prompted me to reach out to Mr. Jackson was to figure out what's going on. Why is my family all over the internet? You know, why are they talking about me? Why am I getting all these hate emails? So it was, a conversation to figure out, hey, you know, there's been several months that have passed. It looks like there's some motions pending against us. I'm getting a bunch of harassment. What's going on?
Do you have an understanding of why you were getting hate mails, hate emails, hate communications, your wife, your children? What did you conclude was the reason why you were receiving that?
I honestly don't know. I presume it was about comments made to me in court or that were represented about ARCA or myself.
So just so I'm clear on that, it was, you believe, regarding comments about ARCA and whether and what? Can you be a little more specific what your understanding was?
Well, I know that I received several emails that, you know, insinuated that I perjured myself on the stand. Like I said, it just, and a lot of hateful comments just about me and the work that I do. So I received several emails with respect to that.
Sir, do you believe you have ever made an untruthful statement at all with regard to this matter?
No, sir.
Have you done your best to try to provide accurate and truthful information in this matter?
Yes.
Now to the last part, which is, did the defense contact you with regard to potential further work? I want to separate out now and move on from the work that you did with regard to the U.S. Department of Justice, your February 2024 report. We went all the way through the trial in that matter. We went to the end of 2024. Now I want to come to 2025 in a different subject matter, which is communications with the defense about doing further work for this trial.
Yes.
What was the nature of the communication? And so we can move through this rather quickly, but yep. Importantly, I want to get it complete and accurate. Just describe what the communications were on a timeline basis, subject matter, and with regard to your understanding of why you were contacted.
So subsequent to that February 13th call, as I mentioned, Mr. Jackson had indicated that he preferred to utilize Signal to communicate. So we exchanged a few messages and phone calls on that. Like I said, they were rather short.
I'm going to interrupt you for there a bit. Was there any discussion about the reason for Signal because the prosecution had been subpoenaing the phones of Mrs. and Dr. Reed, subpoenaing and seizing the phone of Ms. Reed, that phones of defense attorneys had been requested to be looked at? Was there any understanding in your mind that there was a need to go to Signal to protect the defense and the integrity of the defense?
I didn't know that was happening, but I, like I said, I did not have a problem with communicating. To me, it was just another messaging app. I know people use all different types of applications, so I didn't have a problem with it.
Was there anything in your mind nefarious or underhanded about using Signal?
No.
And my understanding is it's the first time you used a Signal app. with regard to a matter professionally. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Did you get any understanding from communications with the defense that there was anything at all untoward about communicating through signal?
No, I was not aware of any issue with using that communication.
Was there any communication whatsoever that you can recall on signal that you have any concern about as you sit here today?
No.
And what were the majority of the communications, as best you recall, with the defense on signal?
Well, as I described, I know that at that point, and like I said, it was primarily confined to a pretty short window in March, but Mr. Jackson had indicated that around that time, I think ARCA was being litigated by this court in terms of our involvement in the case. I know that they had started to, I think, receive discovery as it relates to the Commonwealth's accident reconstructionist and biomechanist. So they were, I think, interested in utilizing us potentially in the second trial. So I think that they had submitted a letter to the U.S. Attorney's Office to try to be able to work with us. I said that on my end, I could reach out to them because I hadn't heard from them in months. So I think it was around mid-March, I had reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office to try to get my own clarification on whether or not we could move forward.
All right. So I want to stop you there. I apologize for interrupting you, sir. But what was the date that you reached out to the U.S. Department of Justice to see if you could participate in the second trial?
Probably around mid-March, maybe March 18th, March 15th.
Did you have an understanding at that time that the Commonwealth had retained an entirely new firm and expert in the area of accident reconstruction?
I think Mr. Jackson had indicated that there had been some material disclosed, but I think it was just a simple report or something of that nature at that point in time.
Was it a report, just like a page and a quarter or so of findings and conclusions and then a slide presentation? Is that what it was?
Yes, that sounds right.
Was any of that information at all helpful or meaningful to you in your ability to respond to that and to determine what was done and what ARCA might want to do in response?
Well, certainly not the report. The report was very, very brief. The PowerPoint, somewhat hard to follow, but again, it really didn't provide a complete picture.
And in terms of scans, electronic data, et cetera, do you recall when you finally got that information?
Well, I think that would have been after the defense officially retained us on March 26th. I think that's when we received that information.
So in terms of the information that you received, those scans, et cetera, did that allow you to proceed with any meaningful work?
Well, it gave us, again, a better insight into the foundation or the basis for the analysis, yes.
Could you have proceeded with a contract with anybody, not just the defense, but anybody, with the level of information you had before you got the scans and the data?
I think it would be very difficult to do so.
Could you have even created a scope of work based upon that report and that PowerPoint presentation?
Most likely not, just because some of the areas that Dr. Rentschler and myself are particularly interested in are extremely vague in that report and PowerPoint.
Once you got the level of information that you have now, what is the ordinary time it would take in the regular course of ARCA's business to evaluate that information and prepare your own report, analysis, and finding? In the ordinary course, how much time would it take ARCA to do that?
Well, certainly for the nature of this case, as I mentioned, we were officially retained by the defense in March. On March 26, 2025, as I mentioned, I myself just got word from the Department of Justice just a day or two, I think, prior to that, that we could move forward. So immediately, once Mr. Jackson, I indicated to him on the 26th that we did have authorization to move forward, he immediately asked that I send over, again, our typical procedure with the contract and retainer. And I think that same day, at the 26th or the 27th, his office sent over, I believe, links to notices of discovery, I believe 1 through 62, which I think encompassed about 800 gigabytes worth of information and data.
How much in relative term, 800 gigabytes? Is that a little data, medium amount of data, or a lot of data?
Voluminous, a lot of data. So we immediately started to review that. And again, I feel like maybe I speak for most experts. One thing we always want is more time, right? So in a case like this, I mean, ideally we would be talking months. To be able to sift through all of that information, be able to do analysis, be able to do testing, be able to write a report, right? So I think certainly we are on the order of months, not weeks.
What did you do, however, if anything, to try to expedite the work and get it done as quickly as you could once you got the level of information you had from Aperture?
Certainly. So I certainly understood that the trial was imminent. So I worked as quickly as I could along with Dr. Rentschler to review that material and certainly in parallel try to determine, okay, what testing do we need to do to effectively evaluate and potentially come up with opinions for this case.
Did you put other work aside at ARCA to work on this matter?
Absolutely. Work and personal things.
And personal things. What did you put aside? Just one example.
So the other week, my wife and I, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary, so.
So it affected his personal life, I understand.
Okay, I'll move on, Your Honor. With regard to the work, you performed it on an expedited basis, as you said. You shortened the time period down as much as your firm possibly could, is that correct?
Correct.
You said you would like to have had more time, correct?
Correct, but I understood Your Honor's order and I wanted to meet that deadline, so I worked as quickly as I could over the last week to ensure that, again, we could respect that deadline and we completed our testing.
And with regard to the testing now that you've worked on that you just described, does that testing relate to any previous work, or is it all in response to the new expert for the Commonwealth, Aperture, and the new information from Aperture that came in iterations through the month of February?
It would be in response to Dr. Welcher's work. Certainly, much of what was alluded to in his report and PowerPoint was not discussed in the first trial.
Could you have done any of the work you've been working on the past month or so? Could you have done any of that work without receiving the Aperture report and slides and scans?
No, I don't even know what we'd be responding to then.
So you needed the Aperture information before you could even start working, correct?
Correct.
Do you have in mind, or does ARCA have in mind, any further testing that you need to do, or have you completed what ARCA needs to do with regard to fairly and properly responding to the new work of Aperture?
I think we're satisfied that we've completed that testing, yes.
And what, if any, more work do you contemplate that needs to be done from, as you sit here today, going forward?
Well, as I mentioned, all the testing is done, so I think the analysis and the report to follow, yes.
To use expert engineering type terms, is it QAQCing the report? Is it putting all the information together in a compilation so everybody can understand what you've done and make clear your findings and conclusions? Is that what's left to do?
Yes, and I will note, obviously, as the court is aware, we've produced all of that raw test data, photographs, video. So it's all there. The basis and the foundation for what the report will lay out has all been provided to the court.
You got ahead of me, and thankfully, to my next question, which is there's nothing that you have that you've done that hasn't already been produced to pursuant to the court's order. Is that correct?
No, I think that we've responded to the court's order, yes.
How long on an expedited basis? Well, let me ask it. In the ordinary course, how long would it take you to do this last part of your work? In the ordinary course?
Probably, again, it can vary. Maybe around a month would be fair.
However, it would take a month in the ordinary course. How quickly can you get that work done fairly?
I'm hoping if it pleases the court, hopefully May 7th will work.
And so you believe everything would be completed by May 7th?
Correct. Where you are.
That's all I have at this point, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Bernie.
Doctor, you're suggesting that it's going to take until May 7th for you to complete your reports in this case?
And the analysis, yes.
Do you know when this trial started?
I think like a week or so ago.
You provided raw data last Friday?
Yes.
But you would agree you still have not provided any reports?
Correct.
You said if you were notified or received information, you could have your testing and opinions done within a month, correct?
Potentially. Again, it would also depend on when we got authorization from the Department of Justice, which, as I mentioned, was at the very end of March.
I understand that. We're going to talk about that separately. I'm talking specifically about how long it would take if you received the information. You said that you could have the testing and reports done in 1 month, correct?
I don't know. I said the testing, the reports, and everything.
Would it take longer than a month?
Ideally, I think it depends on what kind of a report that we're talking about. I think if it's something along the lines that Dr. Welcher produced, I think it could be pretty quick.
You said March 26th is when you received authorization, and you're going to have things done by May 7th. So that's a month and a week?
Sounds about right.
Okay. Do you know when the Commonwealth in this case turned over Dr. Welcher's information to the defense? Do you know?
I don't know, no.
Did you know that it was turned over in a report on January 30th?
Just the report?
Yes.
I didn't know that,
And
no.
The file in its entirety was turned over by February 5th? Did you know that?
Objection, Your Honor.
Do you know that?
I don't, Your Honor.
And if you had a month from February 5th to complete your testing and report, you could have been done by March 5th or even the second week of March, couldn't you?
Presuming we had authorization, the defense had authorization from the Department of Justice as well as ARCA, yes.
Putting aside the authorization, I'm going to ask you about that. But just the time you need to test, if you knew or received the information by February 5th, you could have been done by March 5th or mid-March, couldn't you?
Potentially, yes.
Well, you're going to get it done that quickly now, so wouldn't that be an accurate guide to when you could have done it then?
It's certainly not ideal, but we certainly are working as quickly as we can.
I know it's not ideal, but isn't it the same time frame? Whatever it's going to take you from March 26th, you could have done from February 5th. True?
Again, I don't know the timeline in terms of what exactly was produced when from Dr. Welcher, so I'm not aware of that.
But I'm not asking about the timeline. I'm talking about the time needed to deal with this information. You said you could have done in around a month.
I think a month or more, yes.
So, your contract with the federal government ended, ARCA's did, in June of 2024, didn't it?
I believe it was sometime last year, yes.
Do you know the Commonwealth notified the defense that they were going to have a new expert back in October of 2024?
No.
Are you aware of any effort by ARCA or the defense to try to facilitate an agreement that the defense could use ARCA as witnesses back in October or November of 2024?
No.
Are you aware of any efforts by the defense to try to notify the federal government to be able to use ARCA in December or January?
No.
And so as far as you knew, this came out of nowhere in March that the defense wanted to use ARCA, or specifically you and Dr. Rentschler, in late March of 2025.
No, I think, again, it was, like I said, around February of 2025. I know that, like I said, when I spoke to Mr. Jackson, that he had indicated that the ARCA issue was being litigated. And I think that, like I said, there was, I think, multiple motions pending against us, and he didn't even know if he could move forward with us at that point in time.
Do you know why the defense waited until February 2025 to even seek permission from the federal government to retain you and Dr. Rentschler so you could review the materials?
Objection, Your Honor.
Do you happen to know that?
I don't know, no.
Next question.
You shared with us communications you had with the United States Attorney's Office. Were you receiving information in this case since the last trial from the defense or from the United States Attorney's Office?
What do you mean with respect to information?
Evidence, discovery, information.
From the Department of Justice?
Anybody.
No, not until recently, no.
So you haven't seen any discovery until after February of 2025, isn't that fair to say?
Correct.
Okay. Now, when you were involved in this case before trial last year, we talked about your communications and conversations with the defense. Was anybody giving you information as an intermediary? Was anybody updating you on the defense of the case or giving other information to you?
Yeah, I think I previously testified that the Department of Justice was closely watching the trial and providing us information.
What information were they providing you about the trial?
I think that they provided information regarding the some of the witnesses that had testified with respect to, I think, the Reconstructionists, and I think some of the evidence.
So when the Department of Justice was giving you information during the trial about witnesses, what witnesses do you remember they were giving you information about?
One that comes to mind was, and I don't even recall his name, it would have been the accident reconstructionist.
Is it a coincidence that when you were receiving information from the Department of Justice about particular witnesses testifying in this case, is it a coincidence that your phone calls and text messages are more frequent?
Is it a coincidence?
Yes.
I presume so.
Well, when you were receiving information from the Department of Justice about witness testimony in this case, was that part of the catalyst for you to either call or text the defense and ask questions?
No.
Did you ever share any of the information you received from the Department of Justice with the defense?
No.
When you were receiving information from the Department of Justice about witness testimony, that was before you testified, correct?
Correct.
And part of that, when they were giving you information, did they ever give you any live video?
No, it was just verbal communication.
And they were giving you updates and summaries of testimony?
I wouldn't say summaries. They just pointed out some key things, I think, that came out.
What were the key things they were talking about with the Reconstructionist testimony? What were they telling you?
I think it was as it relates to the arm being outstretched, and I think some of the kinematics of the pedestrian. I also think there was some mention of potentially some DNA evidence.
And is that how at trial, even though you had no evidence that was produced as part of your report or to consider for your report, that you knew that there was DNA evidence because of the intermediary?
Because of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you know there was a sequestration order in this case that you were not supposed to consider or review other witnesses' testimony or information? Did you know that?
I was never made aware of that.
Nobody made you aware about a sequestration order in this case?
No.
But you did, in fact, receive information about other witnesses' testimony before you testified in this case in front of the jury, didn't you?
From the Department of Justice, yes.
What other witnesses were you advised about their testimony and issues in this case before your testimony in this case?
That's all I recall.
Well, you said it was more than one. You said some witnesses. Take a moment, think back. What other witnesses stand out that you were offered information from the Department of Justice about this case before you testified?
As I mentioned, I don't know which witness provided the DNA information, but I would presume that that's the other witness, yes.
So you heard information, you learned that there was information and testimony about DNA?
Yes.
And certainly when you took that information before you testified, you considered it when you testified, didn't you?
No, because again, our report was already solidified, so it didn't change my opinion in any way.
Well, not about whether it changed your opinion, you testified about DNA, didn't you?
I don't believe that I did, no.
Okay. I'm going to approach, if I may, Your Honor.
Okay.
This is your outline with your comments. Do you recognize this?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce that as an exhibit, please. Thank you.
Exhibit 3.
So, as an expert, when you receive information, you need time to look at the raw data, don't you?
Potentially, yes.
You need time to look at the report of another expert, don't you?
Potentially.
And then you got to consider whether or not you think that their testing is accurate. You can test their testing, can't you?
You can, yes.
And you can also generate new tests based on what you've read if you think that there is some explanation needed. Yes?
Perhaps, yes.
And then you can write a report.
Yes.
So it's fair to say when an expert introduces new information testing materials, it takes about, if not at least a month, to process through that information, vet it, and then consider your own testing.
Well, if they've already authored a report and done their own testing, that should be solidified and memorialized already.
Well, if there's new testing, if a new expert does something new and an expert wants to look at it, you would agree to sift through that much information and consider and vet it and then do independent testing. It could take over a month, couldn't it?
If it's necessary.
And it would be the expert that determines whether or not that was necessary, wouldn't it?
Sure.
And if your report is not due until May 7th, is that what you said, May 7th?
Yes.
May 7th. It could take an expert, if they wanted to do testing based on new testing that you provided, over a month, couldn't it?
It depends. I can't answer that.
When you wrote that initial report and you provided the report, how many pages was it? 10, 12 pages?
The original DOJ report?
The report that you produced in this case with your opinions, yes.
That sounds about right.
Okay. You never gave the raw data for that report, did you?
No, it was all protected.
It was all what?
It was protected. It's classified.
Have you been asked for it? Has there been a request made for all the raw data that formed the basis of your opinions, of those initial opinions?
My understanding from communication with the Department of Justice is that all communication and work product is protected and cannot be disclosed.
So that raw data that's necessary to you for your evaluation and your testing, that wasn't provided in this case, was it?
For the first trial?
Yes.
No.
And videos of the demonstration, you built like a potato cannon, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Potato cannon.
If that's how you want to characterize it, sure.
Okay. Did you take videos of it when you were doing your demonstrations and tests?
Yes.
Never turned over those videos, did you?
Again, we're talking about trial one. As I mentioned, for trial two, let me finish.
Trial one, so okay. No, I want you to focus on.
Okay, no, that was not produced, no.
Never turned over any of those videos, did you?
Again, we were not able to.
And was there any failed testing the first time around?
No.
In addition to videos, I'm sure you had other raw data, notes, photographs, right?
Yes.
And so when you look at a report, so for example, you saw Dr. Welch's report and you had access now to his file and data, correct?
Correct.
You reviewed that, didn't you?
Yes.
Because to be fair, you need to review not just the report, that's just someone's opinion. You need to review the raw data, don't you, to get an accurate understanding of an opinion?
Right, which we have already provided in response to Dr. Welcher.
Without video and without the raw data, as an expert, there's no ability to really vet the reliability of your first experiments that led to your testimony in trial one, is there?
I think you might be confused. Again, our role for this round.
I don't think I am.
Objection, Your Honor, you should be allowed to answer.
I don't think I'm confused. I'm talking about trial one.
Right.
You had a 12-page report. You provided no video, no raw data, no notes, correct?
Correct, but for this trial, sir, we are being asked to respond to Dr. Welcher.
Okay? That's not what I'm asking
you. We have
you.
Provided everything that he would need to evaluate the testing that we have done.
That's not what I'm asking you. What if he wants to evaluate the testing you did the first time? Are you gonna come into court? Do you hope to testify about the opinions you gave the first time? About those four opinions?
I don't know what the defense's plan is for us. My understanding is that it's to evaluate and respond to Dr. Welcher.
All right, with that, I need to see counsel at time. You're all set, and let's bring Dr. Rentschler in here, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Follow me, sir.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you shall give to the court and the matter now in hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Rentschler, this is going to be very quick. Go ahead, Mr. Brennan. We
Thank
just
you.
Need his name.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name for the record and spell it?
Dr. Andrew John Rentschler, A-N-D-R-E-W-J-O-H-N-R-E-N-T-S-C-H-L-E-R.
You've testified before in this case?
I have, yes, sir.
At a last voir dire in a past trial?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you have conversations and communications with the defense before your last testimony?
I did, yes.
Okay. Did you use text messages to communicate?
I believe there was maybe one text message.
Okay. How about phone calls?
There was maybe one or two phone calls, I believe.
Okay. Would it be fair to say there was six text messages for you?
Yeah, I believe I sent one and then there were five sent to me.
And were there 23 phone calls?
No, I don't believe so.
Have you looked at the records outlining the phone calls that supposedly you made to the defense?
I looked at the records from the defense, but then I looked at my own records, which indicate a different number, only three phone calls, I believe.
Okay, so the 23 phone calls that are summarized, you don't think you made those phone calls?
No, if you look at them, it's like 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute. And in that time period, according to my phone records, I have like a 21 minute phone call that encompasses most of that time.
Okay. Did you discuss with the defense before your testimony anything about this case?
I don't believe so, no.
When you say you don't believe so, do you remember speaking to them about this case at all?
I remember speaking about my qualifications and my background, and I believe that's it.
Did you ever use any other medium to have conversations with the defense other than texts or emails or phone calls?
No, sir.
Did you ever communicate with them on Signal?
No, sir.
Why not?
There was no reason to.
As an expert, when you communicate with clients, there's no concern about having it in writing, is there?
Keeping
a record, whether it's a phone call or a text message or an email, there's no concerns when you're dealing with clients having a record of that, is there?
Well, I don't believe that ARC has any specific policy for that, no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep track of your hours prior to your testimony?
I did, yes.
And before you testified, did you have conversations with people from the Department of Justice about this case?
Yes, I did.
Did they inform you about witness testimony?
They did inform me, yes, about testimony and situations and events that came forth in the trial that I was not aware of.
Who decided whether it was going to be an issue worthy of talking about before a trial?
With the DOJ, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that certainly that would have been up to the DOJ. I would have had conversations with them. I don't believe that I asked or requested anything, but they
sure.
were called to update us about what was going on.
Do you know why they were calling and raising certain issues with you?
I do not know, no, sir.
And by calling and raising issues and telling you information, even if you weren't requesting it, it helped prepare you for your trial testimony, didn't it?
It would certainly help prepare me to understand what was going on during the trial, yes.
Did you know there was a sequestration order? That there was supposed to be no discussion of testimony and issues that were occurring in the courtroom before you testified?
I'm going to allow it. Were you aware of that, sir?
No, I was not.
Okay.
After you testified, before you testified, did you get a chance to meet anybody from the defense?
Just when I came to court, I think for the voir dire, it's the first time I met anybody.
Did you just spend time with the defendant and the defense after your testimony?
After my testimony at trial on the 24th, yes, I was provided a ride back to the airport, and I believe I was the last witness. So before my ride to the airport, they said, there's a lunch next door. We need to get somebody else to take to the airport, come over, have lunch. I had lunch, stood in the corner, and then got a ride back to the airport.
Spend time with the defendant and her family?
Oh, they were certainly there.
Did you talk to them?
They talked to me. As I said, I ate my lunch, and then I actually went and stood in the corner, and then I believe some people came over to talk to me and approach me.
So you spent some time with them?
Certainly, yes.
Okay. And, sir, I understand the report is not going to be ready until May 7th or after?
I believe currently that's what the estimated deadline is, yes.
And so in evaluating Dr. Welch's materials, you wanted to look at the raw data, the conclusions, the findings, the PowerPoint, all the materials, right?
Yes, you'd like to review all the materials before coming up with an opinion.
You can make a decision on what you think is appropriate to contest or maybe agree with, and then do your own test if necessary, correct?
To be able to respond to what those opinions and allegations are, yes, sir.
And it's taken you at least a month to fairly do that, hasn't it?
Well, I believe that's, I mean, that's what we've had a month. I don't know if it's taken us a month. That's basically all we've had up to this point to do that.
And it's still not done?
No, not yet. Oh. That's correct, sir.
All right. Is that it, Mr. Brennan?
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Can you get that report and everything completed before the 7th? If I order you to do so?
If you order me to do so, I mean, I could certainly try and expedite it.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You're all set, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. I want to see counsel at sidebar for 1 minute. That's it. Thank you.
All rise to the court, please.
Goodbye.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.